This is a podcast by The Straits Times and Money FM 89.3.
This week, Hong Kong's leader Carrie Lam announced that borders with the mainland are not set to reopen ahead of December 19th.
This is because it is also the city's Legislative Council election day there. But with a delegation of Chinese health experts now in Hong Kong to review the city's COVID-19 measures, details of quarantine-free travel will also be announced soon, or at least that's what's expected.
That's right. So with the latest, we have Claire on the line. Claire, thanks so much for joining us again today.
Hi, Rachel and Tim. Always my pleasure.
Let's get to some of the highlights in the news, because it's expected that final details on reopening the border between Hong Kong and China will be decided at top-level meeting of officials from both sides today. What are the expectations there, Claire?
Well, this meeting between the mainland delegates and Hong Kong officials come at the end of a four-day inspection by the mainland experts. So they were here to take a look at the facilities in Hong Kong, including quarantine camps, border checkpoints, and how contact tracing is done. They also discussed about, you know, how they're going to implement the health code for Hong Kong residents going to the mainland. So there's wide expectation that the borders with the mainland will reopen in December. But, you know, Mrs. Lam did not give a timeline. She did, however, bring up the fact that Hong Kong's vaccination rate needs to be higher. So for Hong Kong, you know, it's hit the 70% goal, but experts are now saying to reopen borders in the face of more infectious variants, the city needs at least 90% of the population to be vaccinated to be safe.
All right. Now, here's something, well, at least here in Singapore, we're familiar with contact tracing, trace together and whatever we call it. But in Hong Kong, authorities now said that restaurants or patrons of restaurants, bathhouses and entertainment venues will have to use the government's COVID-19 contact tracing app starting next month. How is this different from the current rules in place?
Well, Tim, currently it's tiered, for example. First of all, the app is not being used. It's not mandatory for people to use it in all places. And if you're talking about the F&B sector, for example, if you go to a restaurant, you know, there are different restaurants of different tiers, which means if the staff, you know, are jabbed and the customers use the Leave Home Safe app, then they can open for longer hours. So currently, people can still choose to use, like, paper forms. But the problem with that is that there are a lot of fake details. And so that is a problem for contact tracing. You know, for the eateries, right, the sector reps are saying that it's unfair that the eateries get penalties when the customers don't use the app or they don't fill up forms properly or they use the fake app. So there's been a crackdown on that. Authorities are, you know, doing more checks and things like that. So there's, of course, unhappiness over the fact that the government is making the app mandatory because privacy is a huge concern here. You know, people are very resistant to, you know, giving information, details about themselves. So the resistance here is high. So unless one doesn't go out at all, I find it very hard for them to avoid using the app at all.
And from the app and contact tracing, perhaps you can also give us an update on vaccinations in Hong Kong. Hong Kong's hit its initial target of 70% for the vaccination rate. What are we likely to see happen next?
So there's been a bottleneck. For the longest time when they first set the goal at 70%, we've had delays. They had to delay the goal. And at this time in point, there was a proposal by expert health expert Yuan Kuo-yong to have a vaccine passport. So he suggested this, and it immediately drew backlash. So he suggested that only people who are vaccinated can enter premises like malls, you know, certain buildings, public venues, but that didn't sit down well. So that's been sort of shelved. And, you know, previously to encourage people to get vaccinated so that we can hit the 70% vaccination rate, you know, enterprises started coming out with lucky draws, you know, giving out gold bars, cash prizes, Teslas and things like that. So, you know, and giving, I mean, and then the
Teslas.
Government came in, stepped in to, yeah, and the government stepped in to give days off, you know, to set the example, right, for enterprises, businesses to also follow suit, to give days off for staff who take the vaccine. So we've got a lot that has been done to incentivize people to get the jabs. But I'm not sure there's anything more that anyone can do at this moment.
This podcast is available on our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Like us and rate us. And now, back to our podcast episode.
Okay, Claire. Claire Huang, by the way, is speaking to us from Hong Kong. She's the Hong Kong correspondent for the Straits Times. Claire, let's talk about the national security law, because the former leader of Hong Kong pro-independence group, Student Localism, was sentenced to 43 months in prison. This is for trying to separate the city from China and for money laundering. Do you have the details of this case?
Well, basically, he pleaded guilty to charges under the national security law. So the 20-year-old who was with Student Localism published seditious messages on social media. He held related activities and events. And the judge, in handing out the sentence, said that this was meant to deter, you know, he was given this sentence because it was meant to deter others from the same act.
Okay, Claire. So lastly, on a bit of a lighter note, here in Singapore, we have the cruise to nowhere, but Hong Kong now has a bus to nowhere as a possible cure for insomnia. I know a few people who suffer from insomnia. Tell us all about this.
Well, so you've got a choice here, Rachel. One's a quiet bus where people can choose to sleep. And the other one is the more traditional sightseeing option. So that's an 85-kilometer trip, you know, starts from the urban district, and then it makes its way mostly on coastal highways to the city's airport. And, you know, now the airport, with tourism sector down now, with no traveling, the airport is a bit quiet, right? So tickets are priced at about Hong Kong $99, and between Hong Kong $99 and $399. So with upper deck seats, you know, having a higher price tag. So some people enjoy this. I don't know. Would you want to sleep on the bus?
So it's not too, it's to kind of lull you to sleep, is that it?
Yeah, so they provide you earplugs, you know, that kind of thing, so that you can choose if you choose the one that goes, you know, yeah, to cure your insomnia. I'm not sure that really cures anything.
So I actually used to commute from London to Aberdeen on a bus at the end of the week and the beginning of the week overnight, and I can tell you I never slept. So I guess but different strokes for different folks. Perhaps it may work for some.
Yes, that's right.
Are you going to try it, Claire?
Well, I think I can skip it. It's okay.
Well, let us know if you do, Claire. Thanks so much for joining us today to give us all the latest updates out of Hong Kong.
Thank you, guys.
The Asian Insider Podcast channel is also available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Like us and rate us.